Okay, it's going round. Okay, my father was born in the village, I think, in 1897. He had three sisters, and they were born in the shop in the village, which is now a cafe, which over time has been the International Stores. Then it was Hearn, and then it belonged to B&H Rook, Bert and Harry Rook, my great uncles. My great grandfather was married twice and had eight sons, four from each marriage. So the Rook family extends to all corners of the earth. I don't have great knowledge of any of them. There was an abattoir behind the shop, which I know very little of. We owned at one time the public house called the Fountain, and then it's going up through the village. At the top of the green there's a little house where my Uncle Sam ran a sweet shop. When the family decided that the shop was no longer a viable proposition, they moved up to the house at the top of the village green, which in my day was called the Nook and now called the Pilgrims. By the side of the Pilgrims was the garden shed, for want of a better word, which was just a shed, and the home guard used it during the war. Where the next two houses are was the orchard belonging to the Pilgrims. And from there on, my family owned the rest of the property up to the fairway. When all the family had left the Pilgrims, my father being one of four children, one went to New Zealand, one went to Canada, one actually lived in the Flint Cottages opposite the parish hall. My grandmother then moved into Pat Hume's house, which in our day was called Two Trees Cottage. And then from there on it was family owned. And in the 60s my father was very short of money and sold a large lump of his land, which now houses Rosemary Housden's cottage or bungalow on the corner of the fairway. Behind our gardens, extending from Lynx Lane right the way through to Bowes Hill, were the most marvellous lot of allotments you could ever wish to see, with beautiful soil. I spent quite a bit of my childhood pinching rhubarb and gooseberries and anything else I could lay hands on, and I still eat all my vegetables raw. Right. Edwina's house at the top of the village green by the side of the Pilgrims is a little cottage which sits lengthways to the green, which was my Uncle Sam's sweet shop, and later became owned by a Mr. Lambden, with a very funny lady who owned it, who threw children out of the shop if she didn't like them. I remember that distinctly. I remember her picking up one child by its clothes and dumping her on the village green. Where do we go from here?
About your schooling.
My schooling. Yes, I went to, every time I fill in a form, I always put that I went to a high school, because I went to school on top of Red Hill, which was obviously a high school. I loved my school. I can remember the two main teachers were Miss Maud and Daisy Baker. The headmistress was Miss Bursey, who was a very, very knowledgeable lady. Very, very frightening with her manner, but nevertheless a very clever lady. The worst thing I can remember at school, I think, was in 1940, whenever we had a very bad snowstorm, and I'd been to the dentist, and my mother sent me to school, which meant I was going to be late with a note, and I was too frightened to go late, so I tore the note up into tiny pieces, hid it under the snow, went back home and said they don't want me at school because it's too late. Never thinking that the snow would melt and my letter would be revealed. I left school at 11 to take what was then the 11 plus. I was never very clever at maths and deliberately didn't do my maths paper so that I wouldn't have to go to the school that my mother wanted me to go to. And then ended up at Fairfield in Havant. From there we were taken to South Street, and in those days we called the school the cowsheds because they were prefabricated buildings. Can't remember when I actually left school. I know that I went as a private gardener to a Commander Dwan who lived in Bowes Hill.
Which house?
No, I can't tell you. I know they had a huge walnut tree in the garden, that's all I can remember, and he kept geese. And I used to sit on a bucket and feed the geese with apple cores in my mouth and let them come and take them. And then they used to bite my bottom as soon as I turned my back on them. But I have to say that when I first left school, whatever my sister did, she was 8 years older than me, I had to do the same. And she worked for quite a few years for my father, who was a painter and decorator. So I had to do the same. I could never understand why you had to scrape off all the old paint and use sandpaper. So, to cut a long story short, I was employed and sacked on the same day because I broke 3 panes of glass with my energetic scraping. Right, well, after my painting and decorating was when I went as a private gardener. I wasn't there too long because I really did enjoy gardening, so I went to Petersfield to George Bailey's flower nursery, which was at Loveden Lane up in Petersfield. Thoroughly enjoyed my time up there. And in 1952, the very day that I was 17 and a half, I joined the WRAF. And for the first 6 months, I just had to do menial tasks because I couldn't do the training for my physical training instructor's medals until I was 18. So I spent many happy hours shouting at men on the parade square. I went from Wilmslow first to Cosford, from Cosford to Rudlow Manor Box in Wiltshire, I think it was Wiltshire, then to St Albans, and then I finished my training at Northwood in London. And all the stations that I went to are still in operation, which I'm very proud about. Then I decided to get married, so came out of the Air Force with about a check. I met my husband while I was at school, when I was at 13. He was the booking clerk at the station at Rowland's Castle, and I just couldn't resist the big blue eyes. I got married at, I'm not sure whether I was 19 or 20, I think I was 20. We were married at St John's Church. My husband's father was a BBC reporter and journalist. So quite a famous man, and he also wrote songs, and his song, If You're Irish, Come Into the Parlour, is still going strong, and we still get royalties. Yes, so we were married in 1955, March 1955, at St John's Church, Rowland's Castle, and off to Devon for our honeymoon. We had a little flat on the top of Red Hill Road. In 1956, January, I was blessed with a son, Stephen. And in July of 1957, I was blessed with another son called Patrick. We named him after the song so that it would live forever. So Patrick John Malloy is in the song, If You're Irish, Come Into the Parlour. We moved from the top of the Red Hill to a council house on the back of a coal lorry because we could not afford a removal van. That's virtually the story of
yes.
Okay. My husband worked as the booking clerk at Rowland's Castle. When I went into the Air Force, he went into the Merchant Navy. Couldn't bear to be without me, and I'm afraid I didn't feel quite the same way. But we still kept in touch, and then we finally married. He worked at a factory in Chichester on the shop floor called Wingard's, which has changed its name several times over the years, but because he is a very clever man, he worked his way right the way up nearly to the top, and then left there and started his own business in Emsworth with a friend, which was very successful until he retired. I don't know what age he was when he retired, because he was a bit of a workaholic. And now we live in a little house in Castle Road, Rowland's Castle, which I saw when I was 8 years old and told the lady at the time, when I'm a big girl, I'm going to buy this house. And my dream came true. My two sons, Stephen and Patrick, I can't remember what they did when they first left school. It's too long ago to think about it. But the eldest one was not very academic, but now has his own business, which is what they call sandblasting. It's a horrible, filthy job, but he's trying to make a success of it because people keep going out of business and leaving him without any money. My younger son went off to America for a holiday and decided he wasn't coming home. So he was there for 26 years and has just come home. He's working on a building in Lynmouth. No, it's not Lynmouth. I don't know where it is. Somewhere down the country. It's one of these funny buildings that comes ready-made, and him and his boss are putting this house together. So he's doing all right, but he could have done himself a lot better in life. So that's my family as it stands. Okay. Yes, one of the activities was I learnt ballroom dancing when I was about 13. We used to have beautiful dances in the hall. Mind you, if anybody came to ask you for a dance, you usually disappeared out the door because you were too embarrassed to do your dancing. But I did learn ballroom dancing when I was 13. What else did we do? I organised rounders, rugby, football, netball, tennis, any game you could think of, I organised up in the rec, and there'd be about 30 of us all up there doing our thing, being shouted at and what have you, because I was a bit of a bully. I also remember snow at some time or another, and opposite my house in Links Lane was the golf course behind the parish hall. I remember we were out there in the snow and sliding down the slopes on our sledges when the gamekeeper chased us off. I dropped my sledge and ran home, knock on the door, and the gamekeeper said, "I think this belongs to your daughter, Mr. Rook." I'd forgotten I'd painted my name on the sledge. I can imagine him and my father having a right good giggle at the door, but I was a bit frightened at the time. I didn't join the drama group until I was about 24 when I was married, and I belonged to the WI, and that they had a drama group in the WI, which I managed to do quite a few plays in there. Then I had a spell of resting from the drama, and I joined a barbershop chorus. And for 25 years, I sang barbershop, which excluded just about every other activity that you could think of, because it's not easy learning barbershop singing. We had a very large chorus. We went to America, we went to Sweden, we went to Holland, we went to Germany, all competing. Oh, and my favorite was going to New York in 1980 and staying at the Waldorf Astoria.
And where was the barbershop organized?
It was called the Purbrook Harmony Group, but we that's where it originated in about 1971. I joined in 79, but it used various halls because it got bigger and bigger, and we ended up with about 70 people, and the halls weren't big enough. Then I decided I'd had enough of that, and I did a lot of solo singing with a pianist. Joined the drama group again and had great success doing lots of plays, and then I got bored with that and did other things like interior decorating. My life, I think, revolved around interior decorating, following on my father's footsteps. I've decorated quite a few houses around the village, and I would never do anything that I hadn't tested out at home first. So when a certain lady came and said that they were most upset with me because their polystyrene tiles had fallen off the wall, I couldn't understand it when this was 20 years later. Now I've rejoined the drama group, been back in it a couple of years, but I am getting a bit past all these activities now.
Right.
So in 1979, a friend of mine called Geraldine Granger, that is very strange because that's the same name as the Vicar of Dibley, and that's just dawned on me, her name was Geraldine Granger. She taught Keep Fit in Greatfield Way, and I went along, and we were there for about 2 months, and she said, I've come up with a new exercise that is going to take over the country. It's called yoga. And so we did yoga, and I thought, this is what I've been looking for. Very hard work, but I trained and I copied her and learned from her and learned from the big guru, Mr. Iyengar. I went to London to be in his class. And in 1971, I was asked if I would teach at a school in Portsmouth, and I said, but I haven't got any qualifications. And Mr. Iyengar, the boss at the time then, said, you don't need qualifications. It's got to come from the heart. And that's where my yoga comes from, the heart. So I have taught since 1971. I've had loads and loads of people go through my hands, and some have stayed very faithful over the years, and possibly over 20 odd years. I still do it. I still love doing it. But I have now found another love, Pilates. And the two combined, I really feel I'm going to live to 300 years of age. Okay, right, we're going back to my memories of the war, which are not very great, actually. I sort of just thought everybody was having fun, I suppose. I didn't really concentrate on the fact that people were being killed. But I do remember that, I think it was the 8th Army, all their tanks, all their Sherman tanks, I suppose they were Sherman tanks, lined up along Lynx Lane, and we had a whale of a time because we were allowed to play on the tanks. My sister, who was 8 years older than me, used to go to work up Lynx Lane and ring a big bell every morning at 7 o'clock to get them all out of their beds, because they would be sleeping in hammocks in the golf course strung amongst the trees, and she would ring the bell to wake them up. And of course she was a beautiful girl, so I imagine that all the soldiers were very much in love with her. I can only remember one, Slim he was called, but my mother, even with her meager rations, used to have them indoors to feed them, and we had a very tiny house. It used to got very cramped. And I remember Slim giving me a black doll. And in those days, you only knew of black people in books. You didn't know they actually existed. At some time through the war, and I'm not sure when, we had 3 bombs drop in the golf course, which shook our house terribly. My sister dragged me under the bed and prayed to God that we'd still be alive in the morning, and I really didn't understand what she was talking about. My other memory, I have 2 other vivid memories of walking along the back of my flint cottage to go to my neighbour, when a huge, when I say huge, it was about 3 inches square, lump of shrapnel hit the ground in front of me. My father nearly died on the spot, as I could have done. really big lump of shrapnel. The other memory I had was standing out at the back of the garden shaking a tablecloth, and I said, there's a plane over the top of us and its engine stopped, and I don't remember anymore. I was thrown in the house and I think it blew up somewhere over in Petersfield. I don't remember anything else. I remember standing on the side of the road, I think it was in 1944, when the King went past and we all had to come out of school and wave little flags. Didn't see much of him, but I do not have very many memories of the war years. When the tanks, yes, when they finally had to leave to go off to war, I mean, it was heartbreaking. We'd grown to know all these boys, and I remember going up there in my usual way to jump on the tanks, and we were told no more, because they'd all been prepared for war. What prepared meant, I don't know, but we were no longer allowed to play on the tanks. And then I remember them trundling off into the distance and thinking, oh dear, oh dear, now what am I going to do? So I probably went and organised a few more games up in the recreation ground.